Today, I would like to talk to you about how we handle fear. As Christians, how do we handle fear? We understand fear is an unpleasant emotion caused by a belief in something dangerous. A fear may cause pain or sickness or distress in one's life, whether it's emotional, psychological, or even physical. Fear can be uncomfortable and crippling. And fear comes in many different ways, in many different shades. And when we look at fear, fear is not always a bad thing. In fact, it can be healthy to have some fear in our life because fear can be a motivator. Fear can help us change our direction or our behavior. Fear can change our thinking. Maybe we think of the whole rather than the immediate. Or maybe down the road we're looking in that, as Christians, we know that is a home in heaven. We're looking forward to that. So sometimes in the physical, we may have fear and that may be our motivator to look towards that in our life. Scripture has a lot to say about fear. Especially the book of Proverbs, chapter 1 and verse 7, we probably all know this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise the wisdom and instruction. You see, when we learn about God a little bit, we should have a healthy fear, understanding who He is, how powerful He is, and we should in some ways fear Him because we're gaining knowledge of who He is. Proverbs 19 and verse 23, the fear of the Lord leads to life. He who has it abides in satisfaction. He will not be visited with evil. We understand when we look at God and we strive to seek God in our lives, we can have satisfaction in the physical life. And it doesn't mean that we won't be visited with evil. We will have evil temptations and those types of things. But we can persevere with that, with God. Proverbs 14 and verse 27, in the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and His children will have a place of refuge. Think about that for a second. When we have fear in God and we do the things that God tells us to do, we can have strong confidence in God, and we can understand that we, His children, can be in the shelter of His wing and be protected, guided by Him. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. This fountain of life, we understand that Jesus talked about this fountain of life and how we can have eternal life if we are obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we do obey God, it'll keep us from the snares of death. And that is a physical or spiritual death, not a physical death. Peter had a lot to say with fear. In fact, it's one of the reasons why he wrote the book of Peter, because they were dealing with fear. Not fear of a pandemic, but fear of suffering. You think about those early Christians and those who were following Christ and those even after the first century, later part of the first century, those Christians were being persecuted. And they were dealing with fear of persecution, fear of suffering. And the suffering that Peter deals with throughout the whole book of 1 Peter. And we see it's like a scarlet thread throughout the letter. And we think of fear, it is not a sign of weakness. It is a normal function of our brain. In fact, I was reading about this, and one writer wrote this, and he said, if you are completely fearless, you're probably brain dead. Meaning you have no brain activity. Meaning it is normal to have fear. But how does Peter address this fear that we have in our lives? How does he address it with regard to suffering? If you would, turn your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 4. And let's look at what he has to say. It says, therefore, Since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. When we look at how Peter addresses those that are going through suffering and maybe even fear of suffering, he tells them, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Since Jesus suffered for us, think about what Jesus did for each and every one of us. Last week in services, we talked about how we can have joy in one's life because of Jesus. We can look also when it comes to suffering, physical pain, having fear in our lives. We can look to Jesus. Jesus suffered on this earth. In fact, we understand in Hebrews chapter 5, he learned obedience for the things by suffering, by going to the cross for our sins. He learned that he needed to be obedient to God, and he learned that obedience for the things that he suffered. We can also look at how Jesus is victorious over his fear. Yeah, he probably had fear going to the cross. Could you imagine the emotions that he was going through on that hours leading up to it? Did he have fear? Yeah, I'm sure he did. Fear of what was going to happen. Fear of how it was going to feel. Fear. He had fear in his life. And Jesus is our example when it comes to having fear. Look to Jesus. Look at him and his strength that he has for us. So we understand, what does Peter say here? Arm yourself also with the same mind. We are to arm ourselves. In the Greek word here means to prepare yourself or get ready in regards to a spiritual weapons of warfare. To arm ourselves. When we look at those, we have that the Second Amendment in our Constitution. We say arm ourselves. We understand what that means. We understand that we need to get protection. Well, when we look at suffering and look at fear and those types of things, we are to arm ourselves with the same mind of Jesus Christ. Wow, when you think about what that means, what is the mind of Christ? Jesus said in John chapter 4 and verse 32, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. His will was, or his food, his life source was to be obedient to God in all ways. In every part of his life, he was to do the will of God. Guess what? We need to arm ourselves with that same mind. No matter what is going on in this world, we need to arm ourselves with the mind of Christ, doing God's will, following after his word. We have in Scripture, we have God's word is given to us that we don't have to walk around aimlessly in fear of everything. We can look to God's word and know what he says, and we know that we can trust in his word. We also look at the Apostle Paul, and he wrote about how we are to transform our minds, renewing our minds in Romans 12 and verse 2. We're not going to be do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of our mind. How is that? Look at the rest of the chapter in Romans chapter 12. We look at verse 3, and we're not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. We are one body, but we're many members. We are to love without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. These are all things that we have to change our mind with. To have the mind of Christ. We are to be devoted to one another, give honor to one another. We need to be fervent in the spirit, serving the Lord. We need to rejoice in the hope that we have in Jesus. We need to persevere in tribulation, be devoted to prayer. And how do we deal with things in our life, especially those who are persecuting us? Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. You see, that's not a normal thing to do. But if the mind of Christ We need to do those things that change, that are our behavior. And we can do that by looking at God's Word, knowing that we have God's Word written for us, that we can know how to change and how to have the mind of Christ. We also know that we should never pay evil for evil or respect that what is right. Be at peace with all men as much as it depends on me. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the mind of Christ, and Paul is writing this out there. And I think there's so many verses also throughout the Bible to arm ourselves with that mind of Christ. We can look at Philippians 2. We need to be like-minded in love, like-minded like Christ was, that we are to love each other. And we can also look at 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10, have unity in our life, that we all speak the same thing in the same judgment. And that's the way Jesus' mind was. He was unified with God. And look at John chapter 17. He was unified with God, and as Jesus was with God, and he wants us to be unified in that unity as well, speaking the same thing. We see that Christ suffered in the flesh, and that is our example, knowing that Jesus went through these problems. Jesus dealt with them, so we can too. We can deal with them in our lives because Christ did. And Christ is victorious in this world. He conquered our biggest enemy, which is death. And we also conquered the separation that is between us and God because of our sins. In fact, when we look at sin, let's look at the end part of verse 1 here. He said, arm yourselves also with the mind of Christ, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. When we think about this, this is also a mindset change. We know he's not talking about Jesus here, because Jesus did not sin. He is telling us to arm ourselves with the mind of Christ and also look at the things in this world. If you're suffering in the flesh, you're going through problems, cease from sinning. Cease from sinning. We should have a mindset change. When we become a Christian, we are dead to ourselves. We are now living our lives for Christ. So the mindset change is this. This lust of the flesh that is out there, I'm not going to let it control me. Well, I'm going to follow the will of God. Look at verse 2. That he may no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. That is what we are to live for, the will of God, what God wants us to do, the way God wants us to live. And we'll look at this application here in a little bit. In verse 3 talks about, for we have spent enough time in our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles. When we walked in lewdness and lust and drunkenness and rivalry, drinking parties and abominable idolatries, in regards to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dispensation, speaking evil of you. When we look at this, there's a mindset change. And guess what? The world is going to look at you different too. When you change your mind on certain things, certain lusts of the flesh in this world, the world's going to think it's crazy. They're going to think of you and say, why are you doing this? Why are you acting that way? In fact, what we should do is not worry about that. Follow God's will. Follow God's will. And that is what is important. And I want to skip down to verse 7. It says, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. You see, we first need to look to Jesus when we're dealing with fear in our lives. Look to him as our example, and how he dealt with things, suffering and fear, and have a mindset change. Then it goes on to say this, but therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. When you have fear in your life, we need to take time, be serious, and watch and pray to God. We need to have sound judgment. We need to take the fear that we have seriously, and go to God. We know that Jesus said, come unto me, all you are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When we think of what Jesus has done for us, and that we can now go to him as our advocate between him and the Father, we know that we can come to him. And why don't we go to him? When we have fear, pray. Be watchful in your prayers. Be serious in your prayers. Pray to God that he'll help you through whatever you're going through. We can have confidence that God hears our prayers. In fact, if you look in chapter 4 and verse 19, I want us to look at what he said. It says, therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. We need to lean upon God. When we lean upon God, we're like giving our soul to him. And when we give our soul to him, we're trusting him. Guess what? God created us. We're trusting our life with him, our eternity with him. And we're handing our soul over to him and saying, help us through this. Well, that's why we should be watchful in our prayers, praying and being serious in our prayers. And we should strive to, whenever there is problems in our life, fear or suffering or different problems we may have, take it to God in prayer. We are to be anxious for nothing, but give everything to God. And when we do that, we can have peace in our life. The second thing I want us to look to, we can look at the next part in verse 8. It says, above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. We are to love fervently. We are to look to Jesus and trust in him and look at his example and to love fervently. And then when we think of how do we love fervently, that's how we are to be towards one another, to those our brothers and sisters in Christ. And those who are not members of the body of Christ, we are to love. Go show love to those who are also in fear. And maybe we can encourage each other, strengthen each other. In fact, it says, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. We are to fervently love each other and do it without complaint. How do we show love, and especially in this time? Well, we can make sure that people's needs are being met, whether that's they have enough food or have enough of supplies while they're being shut in. We can, maybe just a simple phone call would help. Are we being loving like we should? We know that we are to love our brother. In fact, when we know that we cannot have the love of God, if we don't love our brother or our brother or sister, if we don't love them, how's God going to love us? How are we going to love God? Because we can't have just a love for God and not a love for our fellow man. The first command is to love God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, with all thy strength and with all thy might. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. We need to have a fervent love for each other, even in times of fear, even in times of persecution, even in times when we are distressed. Have love for your brother and do it without complaining. And it goes on and it talks about how we are to minister to one another, however that may be, and in our own ways, we are to minister to one another. Whatever gift we are given, go minister to one another. Maybe it's by writing a card, or maybe it's by a phone call or a visit or those types of things. Use that and minister to one another. Show that's the application of your love. And then look at this. As each one has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We are to be good stewards of God because God gave us that grace that is for us. And we're to go minister to others. Use our talents in this world, in our life, and help people along the way. Then it says, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. When we think about that, that's the teaching part. We're to speak. We're to speak the oracles of God. What is the oracles of God? God's written word. God's scripture. God-breathed word of God. That we can take it and look at it and speak upon it. And that means we're take the whole counsel. The oracles. All of it. And encourage people. Teach people. Build them up. Because when we're in fear, we need to learn what God has to say. And when we know what God's word says, teach it to others. That's one way of showing love. That's one way of being like Christ. And it's one way to be hospitable to someone else is by teaching them what God's word has to say. And let's look at the application of all this. It says... the rest of the chapter kind of deals with that. And I'm going to just go through in summary, reading a little bit of it. It says, "Beloved, don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you." What this kind of means is this. We're going to, even if we're Christians, we're going to experience fiery trials. But we're going to experience fear. We can experience suffering. We can experience any type of thing. Don't think it's strange. We are following God. In fact, we look at back to Jesus. Jesus dealt with suffering. Jesus dealt with that. So what we should do is also understand and not think it's strange, but do those steps that we talked about. Trusting in Jesus, looking at Jesus' example, being loving to one another, be hospitable, being the people that we are supposed to be. And we look at the application then, and it's in chapter 5, with the elders. We are to submit to the elders and lead. The elders are supposed to lead. They're to shepherd the flock, exercise oversight. When we look at the application of fear and suffering and things that are going on, look to the elders for your spiritual guidance. They love you. They want the best for you. They're overseeing your soul. And what a great blessing that is to have someone in your life that loves you and wants the best for you. They are to shepherd the flock, have exercise oversight. And when they're doing it, they're not to do it out of compulsion, but they're to do it willingly. And they're to not to do it with dishonest gain, but eagerly. They are concerned for your physical well-being, but most importantly, they're concerned for your spiritual well-being. So the application is, elders, lead. Lead and shepherd the flock. Look at the application for the younger. It says this, "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to the elders." Yes, the application, when we have fear and we have suffering in our lives, the elders are going to lead. And we need to follow. We need to be submissive. And all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. When we think of that, we need to submit to our elders and clothe ourselves with humility. Meaning, don't say this, don't think this. Oh, they're doing it for this reason or that reason. They have your best interest in mind. And don't think too much of yourself. Look and follow their guidance, follow their leadership. And then look at the rest of the, we'll look at a few more in verse 6. It says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." When we look at fear and suffering in our life, what are we to do? Humble ourselves to God. And he will exalt you. It's just a matter of time. Maybe it's that suffering there going on. Look to that home in heaven for eternity. Yeah, God will take care of it. He may not take care of it here in the physical life, but he will take care of it for sure in our spiritual life. And we know, it goes on and talks about our adversary, the devil. He roars around he goes around like a roaring lion, seeking him, those who he will devour. And what's it say? Be firm in the faith. Resist him. Don't be steadfast. Don't, when we go through trials and tribulation, fear, suffering? No, you have an adversary who is tempting you. Oh, well, you know, one of these temptations, and I know it's a big one. Well, I'm going through this problem in my life, and where's God? Well, God is there. That's the devil's trick, is to trick you to say, I'm going to put the source of blame on the wrong person. It isn't God. God cares for you. And he wants what's best for you. But you need to resist the devil. You need to know that there is an adversary and resist him. Be steadfast in your faith. And knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Yes, other people go through these temptations and trials. And know that they're going through it. And they're putting their hope and trust in God. And to end the letter, he said in verse 10, but may the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. You see, those three things that will happen when we follow God's pattern, to look to Christ as our example, to call upon God in prayer, to love one another, to submit to our elders, and follow God's pattern. He will perfect you. He will establish you and strengthen you. And he will settle you. In times of fear, don't we need to be settled? In times of suffering, don't we need that settling that will come upon us trusting in God? So how we deal with fear in our lives? Well, like I said, fear is not always a bad thing. We have time in our life, while we have breath, while we have our ability to think and to reason, we need to come to God. We need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Confess him. And not just once, but all the rest of our lives. And be baptized for the remission of our sins. And in doing so, repenting of our sins and being baptized, our sins can be washed away. And now I ask you this, have you done that? Are you right with God? If you're not, I encourage you to take the steps necessary to get your life right with God. And if you are a Christian and you have struggled or left the fold of grace, come back. We know that God loves us. God wants us to be in a right relationship with him. And we have opportunity to do that while we live our life. But once our life is over, we don't have that opportunity anymore. So I encourage you, think about these things. If I can do anything, please message me, call me, or send me a message. Whatever I can do to help you. Get your life right with God. Please contact me. Thank you.